to worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. Those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. He is the way and the truth, and in Him ends the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. But we don't keep His word, then we walk in the darkness, and the truth's not in us. If we walk in the light, we will have fellowship sweet, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from sin. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. Walk in the light, He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light.
Well, 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 good morning, friends. Well, we finished up the book of Luke yesterday, and I said I wasn't quite sure where we were going to go next in our travels and our journeys. And this is some critical stuff that we'll talk about here this morning for a bit, and maybe for the next few days. We'll see what tomorrow morning is like, if we even have power or any of those types of things, because they're calling for a... They're calling for another winter storm, and it's April. It's April, what, 3rd already today, and yet today we have another storm warning. It's not a watch. It isn't a possibility. At least that's what they're saying. At least that's when I went to bed last night. I kind of overslept a little bit this morning haven't looked at the weather, haven't even made coffee, haven't done any of those things yet, but that's all right. So maybe the weather's changed. Maybe they're telling us it's going to be balmy in 80 today. We'll take it. But if the Lord says, no, you guys there in mid-coast Maine or all of Maine or all of New England or wherever it's going to be, you're going to get a dump of snow. Well, we'll take that too, Lord. Thank you for another day to know you, to love you, and to serve you. Well, the conversation I thought we'd get into here for a few days is making a disciple. I mean, what are the things, what are the ingredients that you need to put in to make a disciple? Now, it's kind of like making cookies, you know. If you make, and my wife makes the best, nobody makes better chocolate chip cookies than does my wife. They're just the best. You can tell her if you see her. You can message her and say, your husband was talking about you again on the morning broadcast fact, please do. You can just message, hey, he was talking about you. Now, here's the thing. I shouldn't be eating many chocolate chip cookies. I'm in that phase of life for lots of reasons. I shouldn't be eating many chocolate chip cookies. But the fact is, she makes some of the best chocolate chip cookies. However, if you leave out a key ingredient, it changes everything. I think there's salt. If you leave out the salt that's supposed to go in it, they don't taste the same. Or if you happen to leave out the sugar, how could you leave out the sugar? It's such a big piece, especially the brown sugar, such a big part of making chocolate chip cookies. It won't taste the same. You have to have the right ingredients to get the right type of cookie. Now there's all kinds of other things. Lasagna. And why am I talking about all this carb stuff this morning? I'm trying to stay away from carbs, but I mean, the same with lasagna. There are key ingredients that need to go into a lasagna recipe. If you're going to cook something, you have to have the right ingredients if it's going to come out just scrumptious. You know, the same is true in the life of a believer. What are the ingredients that we think, and so put your thinking caps on here this morning. What are the ingredients that if you were helping someone grow as a disciple, what are key ingredients that maybe you need to help them learn if they're going to grow as a disciple? There are key things I think that you need to help them learn. That's something that our discipleship group has been talking about on Thursday night. So, although when we've been able to meet last week, there was something going on that we didn't meet last week. This week, probably going to be cleaning up from a big snowstorm that's supposed to go from this afternoon through to tomorrow night. Anyway, let me stop talking about that. It sounds like I'm worrying about the snowstorm. I'm really not. Looking forward to Thursday being a day to work behind me here and get books, shelves in and books on the wall and that type of a thing. But what are things that we need to help and Walter's putting comments in there already. What are some key things to help them learn? Things they need to know, but also things we need to help them learn how to do or things that we would say are important in the life of a growing follower of Jesus. What do we want to help build into their life? What do we ourselves want to model for them? That's a question. Walter has said compassion. Absolutely, compassion. And this can be a sprawling conversation. In fact, this conversation would be a lot of fun if I had somebody else here in the quote studio with me, and we were talking about what factors would be there. There are things we need to help them learn to do, but also things we need to help them learn to know. In fact, one of the things that we talk about, three parts, and they all start with an H: the head, the heart, and the hands. What knowledge do they need to possess? Where do we want to lead them emotively in their soul? What do we want their hearts to grasp and to hold on to? And what skills do we need to give them to be able to flourish as a young Christian? So we think about those types of things. Compassion. Compassion is something. First, they need to understand God's compassion for them. And Buenos Dias, Jessica practicing her Spanish for her missions trip to Mexico. Support Jessica in her missions trip to Mexico. Buenos Dias. Oh, and we got hola going on over here. I'm looking at the comments here. Here you can see some of the comments here. And that gives you a chance to type some things in the comments as well about things that you need to help young believers learn, things they need to know in their minds and skills we need to equip them with to grow as a follower of Christ. Susan Finley logging in with us here this morning. Good morning, Susan, to you. Should we make it a rule we all have to say buenos dias or hola for hello and learn a little Spanish here? We can impress Pastor Jacob, couldn't we? Anyway, let me get back over into the conversation. Some of the question over here, or some of the responses, compassion. Why is it so important that we help a person learn compassion? Well, we want people to learn the compassion of Christ. We want people to learn the compassion of God. We want people to learn how much God loves them. We want them not only to understand how much God loves them, but we want them to also understand that they are to love other people. To make a good Christian, things that will make a good Christian. A great commitment to the great commandment, to love God and love people. That's something oftentimes we'll say will make a good Christian. A great commitment to the great commandment, loving God, loving people, for us to learn how to demonstrate compassion. The best place for us to learn how to demonstrate compassion is for we ourselves to learn to live in the compassion of God. That's the first place. We learn to live in God's compassion. Learn how compassionate He has been to us, and He has been immensely compassionate to us. And every day, to think of all that Christ has forgiven in our lives, and we want people to understand all that Christ forgives in their life as well. God's compassion. And compassion isn't only forgiveness. There's more to compassion. God's kindness would maybe be considered a part of His compassion. So how do people learn the compassion of God? Well, we teach them passages in the Scripture. So here would be an assignment for you. Do a Bible study on the compassion of God. And you can do that. You can go into... let me maybe share that with you. I'll put this over in a screen here. Let me share this screen. Here is Google. Now, Google isn't always the best place to go, but if you type in here, if you type in here verses for the compassion of God, boom. So here's one that's called Active Christianity that comes up. 38 verses about mercy and compassion. Now, I'm not familiar with Active Christianity. It might be a great site. I don't know. I've not gone there. Now, here's one that you get down into here, Bible study tools, 35 top Bible verses about compassion. Open Bible down below. Here's another one. Now, you have So Very Blessed. I know nothing about that site. Compassion International. I mean, it's all about compassion. It probably knows a thing or two, but we're looking at Bible study. What does the Bible say about compassion? Or the Billy Graham Library, 5 things the Bible says about compassion. Daily Verses, 15 verses about compassion. A Country Living Magazine, a veritable authority on all things Bible. I say that tongue-in-cheek, friends. I say that. I don't mean that at all. But here's 20 compassionate verses about kindness. Now, see, it even changes up the word. Here is one, Bible Life. Now, I don't know about this site either. 60 Bible verses about compassion. But what I'm showing you is it doesn't take very long at all for you to be able to do a Bible study on compassion. You have the YouVersion Bible app, perhaps, many of you. You can do a study there. Here in this, this is called the eSword, which is what we have been using for years. I've used this for probably at least two decades now. Let me type the word in here, compassion. Okay, so this tells us down at the bottom, down here, there are 73 verses found. So there you go. Now, even what I'm doing right now is showing you what you can show somebody else. Now, Google is okay. Now, there's some who say, you can't trust it. It's going to cut things out. It's blah, 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 blah. Well, I think the days will come, it will get worse. But friends, I still think that you can find plenty of good things. I just showed you some of those things, and we'll go back and look at that. But here we are in the eSword Bible tool that I use, and you have to, there are a few free versions that come with the eSword, then you have to buy the others as I've done over the years. But just as an example, looking at this tool, let me put it back up here for us to consider. Exodus 33, verse 19. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. Now he's speaking to, you look at the context, he's speaking to Moses. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now, you would take a verse like that, and you would, what I would do is I would say, write out that verse, literally write it out on a, in a notebook, and then below it, make all your notations. I mean, it talks about God's goodness. It talks about God's mercy. But then it gets into here twice in the verse is the word compassion. And it says, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion, indicating that God can be selective with his compassion because he's God. Wow. Now that can send you on a whole, on another whole rabbit trail of study and quest. But God will have, he's just saying, look, who are you to tell me who I can have compassion on? And sometimes we want to do that with people. Well, Lord, don't you know what type of a person they are? Don't you know that they're a sinful person? Don't you know that they're a glutton? Don't you know that they really have this thing, this penchant for women? Don't you know that they, you know, they're bad with money? Don't you know that they're a shyster? Don't you know? And so the Lord says, I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Who are you to tell me on whom I can have compassion? That might be something you might pull out of that verse. You just keep going down through there. You can go verse by verse by verse. Here's like 1 Kings 13:23. But the Lord was gracious to them and had compassion and showed concern for them because of his covenant with Abraham. Oops, I didn't put the verse up there for you. Because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To this day, he has been unwilling to destroy them or banish them from his presence. This speaking about people who maybe should have received just recompense for the ways in which they had lived, the ways that they had turned away from the Lord, the ways that they had not walked with the Lord, all these things being true, and yet God saying that he was compassionate, he was gracious and compassionate. Let me just do another just quick pass down through here. Because of your great compassion, it says in Nehemiah, do not abandon them. Nehemiah 9:28, and when they cried out to you again, you heard from heaven, and in your compassion you delivered them time after time. you get into the Psalms and you see Psalm 51, Psalm 77. He has in anger withheld his compassion. Another look here at God's metering out some judgment. Psalm 77, has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Psalm 90, verse 13, relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. I mean, God was applying pressure on his people because of the ways they were living. Psalm 103, verse 4, God who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who, notice what it says, on those who fear him. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. You get the idea here. You get the point here of just what I am talking about. The compassion that God shows to people. And this all comes simply from Walter's suggestion of a word of something that we need to help a young believer learn to live in the compassion. Now, there are skills, and really when I decided that we would go this route, I was thinking more about what skills do we need to impart. But even beyond the skills, I think it's important that we equip people with the knowledge of God. Who is God? What is God like? What does the Bible tell us about God? So you do kind of two things. You equip people how to learn what the Bible says, but then also for our own benefit, we're thinking, just think about the benefit to you. If you were preparing to help somebody else learn all they could learn about the character of God through Bible study, think of how much you would grow in preparing to help somebody else learn that. There are all kinds of books that you can study on the character of God. There's some great writings on the names of God. So you read those things, you learn those things, you study those things, and then you help somebody else study those things. In fact, if Walter, this is all your fault here this morning, dude. You suggested compassion, and you sent me down this course. So thank you, dear brother. I was thinking about you yesterday, talking with Wendy at dinner time last night. But all these things, I hope that you're snickering as you say sorry in the comments there, Walter, with a little smirk on your face and a little joy in your heart. But just think of this, what we would teach other people. And so you can get some books. I've gone to Google the compassion of God. Let me just shrink this one down and bring back up Google, and we were on Google looking at different sites, 60 verses about compassion, Bible life, 60 Bible verses about compassion, understanding God's heart. So you can go into this study, and when you find places that have lots of, I never know what, see, you're going to get advertisements. Like Zyrtec, whatever. But if you go to these verses that these sites that have lots of Bible in them, you're probably pretty safe. Okay, here's some. Deuteronomy 4:31, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them. I mean, all kinds of things. I mean, it's just so limitless what you could study. And absolutely, we ourselves need to know these wonderful truths about God. We ourselves need to know the character of God. We ourselves need to know what God is like. We need to learn the names of God. And that's something in English that we miss. Now, I'm no Hebrew scholar. I don't want to pretend that I am in any way a Hebrew scholar, because I am not a Hebrew scholar, but to get a hold of um, a book that studies the names of God, because we don't get that. We just say Lord, we say God, as we consider what is in the Bible. But if you understand the Hebrew that's a part of it, or if you understand even more than that, if you understand, there's just so much to understand. Even in the New Testament, even the things that Jesus says about himself, even as they're translated into English, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I am the gate. I am the door. I am the way. The numerous things that Jesus has to say about himself, giving us insight into who he is. These are things these are things that we want to learn. Now I understand why it was looking funny, because I was at the wrong camera. But yeah, all these things that we need to learn, but then we want to help young believers. If we're excited about these things and these things are kind of dripping off of us and we can't wait to share them, this imparts to young believers an excitement for the nature of God, for the character of God, for the names of God, for the person of God, so that they can fall in love with God. In fact, I think that's the most important thing. We need to, in our own lives, be seeking to love God so that we can help others also learn how to love God, because he's worthy of our love. And in fact, that's the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. So if there's something that we can impart to other believers, especially young believers, let's let them not see us bound up in legalism. Let's not let them see us bound up in religiosity. Let's not let them see us bound up in churchianity. May they see us loving God. I can tell you unequivocally, absolutely, without a doubt, that when I was a young Christian, that's what I saw in the people who were mentoring me. They loved God. It was evident. And I was around them almost every single day. Now, I'm not saying they didn't have bad days. I'm not saying that there weren't days when I walked in the door and it's like, there's tension here, because George just had to get after his teenage kids about something. While I was a teenage kid, I was one of the kids, became one of the kids. But George and Barb love God, and they love Jesus. They love the scriptures, and it just exuded from them. He was never a pastor. He worked as a, I don't know if engineer is the right term, but maybe an engineer for the electric company. That's what George did. I mean, he was out engineering site work, and this is how we need to run these lines, and this is how we need to, place these poles and blah, 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 all those types of things. That's what George did. But he loved Jesus. See, he wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a pastor. Just the pastors. No, George and Barb just love Jesus. And that's what young believers, if we're going to help them grow, they need to see in our lives, helping this love for Jesus, that would help them also have a love for Jesus. Well, Walter Huss, bless you, brother. You launched us into this, and you took us a little bit different direction than my mind had thought we would go, but I think we're going to keep going this direction the next several days, talking about the head of the young believer and the heart of the young believer, and what do we need to pour into them so that they would see and experience Jesus. Friends, it's time to end the day for today, and it's my prayer that we will love God today. Lord, help us to love you. Help us to walk with you. Help us to love you because you're worthy of our love, but also help us to love you because others need to see Jesus in us. Lord, help us to live to that end, that we might glorify you today. Lord, hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good day, friends. See you tomorrow.